To be pleasing to God. Commentary for the January 18th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Luke 15, verses 11 and 12. As I write this commentary, the citizens of Los Angeles County, California, are continuing to battle horrendous fires that swept through several densely populated suburbs, killing some, with a death toll still to be finalized, and turning to ash thousands of buildings. The damage to the communities, especially Pacific Palisades and Malibu, thus far is several times worse than the damage caused by the Great San Francisco Fire of 1906 or the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. This is largely because those earlier fires were not driven by hurricane-force Santa Ana winds, driving the embers and relentlessly kindling new blazes before fire control could even begin to contain existing ones. Those same winds kept airborne fire control attempts grounded. With inadequate resources to quickly knock down the inferno, it became impossible to prevent the scene from becoming apocalyptic. What began as one blaze became as many as half a dozen north and west of Los Angeles, all of them with no containment. God must weep to see such suffering and loss. But among those who profess to be his people, a different spirit soon manifested itself. With misplaced schadenfreude, the finger pointers showed up eager to cry out that this happened as a judgment of God against the people of Los Angeles County because they were so sinful. These individuals cited judgment passages from the Bible to prove they were right, and God is going to get everyone else except them, because those suffering are all sinners. Seventh-day Adventists were part of that crowd. The only difference was their addition of quotes from Ellen White with their finger pointing. Sadly, those who are doing this and read this commentary may not even see the evil their mischaracterization of God is producing. The God they believe in is the same God the Jews believed in that rejected Jesus. They wanted a God of wrath and vengeance who would drive the Romans from Palestine and put the Jews in charge as his chosen people. They wanted a punishing storm god like Baal. They had no desire to suffer a peaceful and loving God like the incarnation of Jesus testified of. They felt those who preached such a loving God, who would send his own son to die instead of judging the people, were heretics and deserved to die. They acted on that belief and murdered Jesus and set about murdering his followers, believing they were doing the will of their murderous, wrathful God in doing so. We are no different today. Too many of us want a God who will deal apocalyptic judgment against our political enemies, and we should absolutely love it if the government felt that way also. After all, the Bible says that God sets up governments, so why shouldn't his people make sure that the government acts according to godly principles as we understand them? Why shouldn't such a government rain down fire on the heads of evildoers in the name of God? And wouldn't it be great if we could sit on the sidelines with our bags of microwave popcorn, gleefully watching the judgments of God enacted by such a government, while we shout, "Repent, sinners! God is doing this to you because of your sins. You're getting what you deserve." What a disgusting scene that would be. But it is not far from what is happening over the Los Angeles fires. Jesus revealed to us the true character of God. He healed the sick, the lame, and the blind. He shared his blessings with both the righteous and sinners. He did not quiz them first to determine whether they were deserving of his miracles. In some instances, after he performed a miraculous healing, he told the person to go and sin no more. Some see in this a revelation that God does not tolerate sinners. but the meaning is quite the opposite. He wanted those witnessing those miracles to understand that he was not healing them because they were righteous, but because God is love, and his love is bestowed on sinner and saint alike. God's grace and compassion are beyond belief. Jonah could not stand the idea that God would spare Nineveh from being destroyed because of his love for the Ninevites in Jonah 4. I dare say that there are many Jonahs today who would rather see the entire world go up in flames than allow the idea that God could pardon someone who had lived a profligate life. Those who lived their lives for decades obeying every command of God, however slight, would feel keenly the imagined injustice, as Jonah did. They denied themselves every joy in the belief that they would receive greater joy in heaven. They feel sinners should do likewise and give up their joy in the very blessings God has granted them to repent in sackcloth and ashes before God, who will witness their suffering and reward them for it in the next life. But they are not in charge of who enters heaven. God is. Jesus told a story of two sons of a wealthy man in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. One of the sons became impatient for his inheritance and asked his father for it while he lived. His father granted his wish and bestowed his share of the wealth upon him. The son, who did not understand what was required to produce such wealth, went to the city and found many friends who were eager to help him spend his money. Once the money was gone, the friends vanished, and he was left with no means to provide for himself. He eventually found a job caring for pigs. Over time, he found that the pigs were getting better treatment than he was. He remembered that those hired servants who worked for his father were treated better than his employer was treating him. He decided to go home and ask his father to employ him as one of the servants. Surely that would be better than what he was reduced to now. He did not know how much his father loved him, and how every day he would watch down the road to see if his son was returning. When he did return, his father saw him coming while he was still far off, and ran to him and embraced him. The son recited what he had planned to say to his father, and asked to be hired as a servant. His father would not hear of it. He dressed him as a son and threw a welcome home party for the one who had wandered and now returned. His love overrode any wrongs that might have been done. This created a bond of love between their two hearts that would not easily be broken. What a beautiful illustration of the loving character of God. But the story does not end there. The man's other son deeply resented his father's love and compassion toward his profligate brother, and refused to celebrate his return. Like so many who consider themselves Christians today, he probably would have felt his brother got what he deserved for his sins if he had perished instead of returning home. Whether perishing in the flames of an inferno or dying of starvation and exposure far from home, God takes no pleasure in the death of humanity, according to Ezekiel 18, verse 32. How dare his people rejoice over such a loss? Yet here we are doing exactly that, and worse, because it is magnified many times over through social media, causing the name of God to stink in the nostrils of those he lovingly created. When Jesus was asked about some who were slain by the Romans while offering sacrifices, he asked in return if those who were asking thought those people suffered because they were great sinners. And he also cited those killed when a tower fell on them and asked the same about them. He said they were not, but that those asking about them should repent lest they suffer a similar fate, according to Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. Thus, it is a sin to think that a person's suffering is related in any way to their sinfulness. Those who think that it is should learn from the butterfly. When a caterpillar has reached maturity, it creates a chrysalis, and over time a metamorphosis takes place. When the moment is right, a beautiful butterfly emerges from its capsule and begins to struggle to unfold its wings. If we'll feel sorry for the butterfly and try to help it unfold its wings, we risk crippling the butterfly so it can never fly. The struggle is necessary to pump vital fluid into the wings, to not only expand, but to nourish them to their full glory. When there is genuine need that we fully understand and can truly help, we should. But the point of this little parable is that suffering is not to be taken as a sign of the loss of God's loving favor or as a punishment. Like the butterfly, it may be to reveal the fullness of the glory of all we were meant to be. We should love friend and foe alike and not judge in these things. For judgment belongs to God, and He is love, according to 1 John 4, verse 8. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find many articles and links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.